Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, cut the rubbish. Ablett deserves a week. Are players allowed to have a drink? Take note, Stephen May. The Dockers' backline looking good and the Eagles struggling over four quarters.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh,
the stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello everybody. It's Tuesday, which means it's time for the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. I'm Mark Duffield. I'm the senior football writer at the West Australian. Have with me in the studio here at Red FM, Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times.
Duff.
Quarters, this is the podcast where Gary Ablett could murder 15 people and half the media would still try and get him off.
Mate, I don't care if he's the Pope. If you leap in the air, raise an elbow, you deserve a week.
Yes.
He gets a week. I have no doubt.
I have a feeling that the...
He's getting off.
Have a feeling that the half the football media has kissed Gary's ring overnight.
Well, Gary, I believe, will get off this charge.
Well, he shouldn't.
I agree.
There is no difference between this and Nathan Fife on Levi Greenwood. There is no difference between this and Dylan Grimes on Jamie Elliott.
Actually, I would be giving... I still argue Grimes should have got two for that. I just think there was force behind that.
Cousins on... Was it Petrescu Seaton?
It was. Deserved a week.
And if we're going to have consistency as well, Hipwood should have been done.
Should have been done.
For that was Jake Lloyd, wasn't it?
So Geelong's argument, among other things... is that it's before
it's
we...
It's Gary. That appears to be the main argument. It's
Well,
Gary.
It is. It's the Good Samaritan rule. It's the exemplary record rule. Low impact. Hit him. Didn't actually hit him in the head. And by the way, I'll just give you Chris Scott's counting. That's his counting. Because 2 seconds he was on the ground, apparently, Dylan Chiel. 2 seconds.
Looked more
I counted 16.
Yeah.
That's it's just full of inconsistencies. He deserves a week. You jump in the air and raise your elbow, whack a guy in the head. He did hit him in the head, Duff. Whether it's the back of the head or the side, he still hit him in the head.
And he went down.
That's right.
And it was sloppy. You know, you can always find a reason why these guys do these things. When Fife hit Greenwood, it was basically more exhaustion than anything. He was just tired and clumsy. When Grimes hit Elliott, he was angry because Mason Cox had just taken him out off the ball. But no matter why you do it, you do it.
And I don't get the 328 games without a suspension, therefore this applies.
Well, Andrew Gafford played 150 and had never looked like hitting anyone when he hit Andrew Brayshaw. I didn't hear the exemplary record to get him back on the field for a grand final. I didn't hear that raised. Andrew Gafford never done anything before that. We don't expect him to do anything again. He is an exemplary and fair footballer who just had one bad moment in a game. I mean... Let's cut the rubbish. This is a week.
Yep. It is a week.
And I've got a news for you, little Gaz. I hope you cope well with booing, because if you thought you were getting booed before, you get off this, mate, you'll get booed every week by everybody.
Well, I think he's getting off.
Well,
I'm reading the tea leaves and I don't like it.
Rules for some, rules for others.
I agree. Now, Stephen May's been in the news, Duff, having a little sip midweek.
They wanted him to go to rehab. He's saying no, no, no.
Well... I'll put it out there straight away. I have no very, very good Amy Winehouse impersonation. That was the first song my infant son ever learned, actually.
Which is a bit scary.
I have no problem with having a bit of a sip, but I just don't think it's a good look when you've started the way Stephen May has at Melbourne, turning up for his first training session looking like he'd been at some sort of music festival, and secondly... drinking during rehab. I just think...
It was a four-hour drink.
And the other thing is, too, they've had a good win at the weekend, and this is the aftermath. So I just think it's pretty poor. And as I said, no problems having a drink, but just choose your time. Your timing is terrible, Steve.
Apparently he's being fined $5,000 because it was beer and not a nice cab sav.
Oh, right.
It's sort of a full-bodied number from, you know...
1968, Tawny Port. That's not the way we do things, Stephen, here at Melbourne. It's a Victoria bitter, for goodness sake.
Where's the cognac? Where's the cigar?
Oh, geez, didn't Melbourne carry on too after beating my boys at the weekend?
I tell you, I found that was an absorbing game, and
It was.
I have to say, I loved the emotion of Simon Goodwin.
Did you?
And the I did. I just thought.
I thought it was carrying on like pork chops after your second win of the year. Settle down a bit, boys. That was my opinion.
That was Glenn Quatermain, who supports the four-time Premiership Hawks.
Well, not four, mate.
You got to take them when you can get them, Quarters.
Yeah, I
guess
so.
They've had a pretty tough month.
Have they?
For D's.
Oh yeah, they'll win some games. Well, they had a win.
Let it go, guys.
Well, don't worry, I let it go. The only good thing about that was it was a Saturday game, Duff, so it didn't stuff up your Sunday.
Where are your boys at?
I don't think they're I'm going to invoke a Ross Lyon saying here. I don't think it's ever as good or is ever as bad as it seems. I don't think it's dire for Hawthorn. I mean, they're 3-4. They were poor at the weekend, really poor. So Melbourne wasn't flash either, to be quite frank. They were two pretty poor teams. But I think they're going okay. There are a few – everyone suffers injuries, but I think maybe in that 25 to 29-year bracket they've got some problems. But there's still plenty of youth coming through. There's a couple of pretty important players missing from that lineup. I think if you put Frawley in there, who started the year really well, and there's a couple of defenders there who are just going. Brand, I'm not a huge O'Brien fan. But, it's not – they've been thrown to the wolves a little bit here. I think Frawley in that side makes a big difference. Obviously, Tom Mitchell makes a big difference. But, I don't think it's as dire as it seems at the moment. And it was a good rocket from Clarkson. Look, there are concerns there. But
Clarko was talking to his players afterwards.
Of course
he
was.
Yeah. He's basically saying, we do not finish middle of the road. So if we're middle of the road at the end of the season, there's going to be consequences for some of you.
Well, I think what he was saying was there are already going to be consequences. He wasn't flagging it. I think there'll be players moved off that list and there may be some modifications to the way they're playing. So yeah. I think the most worrying thing for Hawthorn, I don't think the attack on the footy was all that flash at the weekend, and that's not what you're used to seeing. On the other hand, as you suggested before, Melbourne got on the board. So, hopefully for Melbourne, it gets something going with their season, because I just didn't see enough at the weekend to suggest they're on the way back.
Now, just to clarify, we were having a bit of fun with Stephen May before. So Melbourne has come out and said there will be no punishment for Stephen May.
Okay, so it was very nebulous sort of a statement. It wasn't not fighting him. What they were doing was they were saying he is... we're putting him on a program to make him a better person.
There's a lot of programming going around.
There's a lot of programming. So it was a really poor...
So we're going to have a lot of good people in the AFL, because there's a lot of people being made into better people by programming.
Yes, there are. Speaking of games that were exhilarating to watch, and we may have a difference of opinion on this one, but Freo v Adelaide at the weekend, 17-point win to Adelaide. I really enjoyed the game of footy, Duff. Some games, they're loathsome, offensive brutes, yet you can't look away. And for me, that was just an arm wrestle that was captivating.
Yeah, no, we're not that far apart on that. We had an exchange of texts on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You said you loved it. I said I thought it was a very tough game, not a great game.
It was tough.
I do like the way Fremantle's defence is holding up. I think they need better connection with their forwards. Now,
it was that sort of a game, though, wasn't it? It wasn't a game to be a forward.
You know what I reckon happened? I reckon it panned out where both teams ended up playing a player or two behind the ball.
Yeah.
And I reckon both coaches were happy to let it run like that. And I think Don Pike was happy to let it run like that, because you always had the feeling that Adelaide were winning that arm wrestle.
Always had the feeling that at some stage, at the very, very, very late in the game, Eddie was going to pull one out of his back pocket. So it took maybe the goal of the season, in my view. It was a remarkable goal.
Great goal.
To break the deadlock.
But I reckon, conversely, Ross Lyon would have been thinking, we stay close enough,
yeah,
and then with 5 or 10 minutes to go, I free everyone up and we take a run at it and see if we can pinch it.
Yeah.
So I think both coaches were happy to have the game in that holding pattern for most of the game. Really, Fremantle, the Brad Hill 50 is a 50.
Yeah, see, I'll take the grass throwing.
Yep.
I'll take it. I'm not entirely happy with it, but I'll take it. I'm not sure about the Darcy Tucker placing the footy on the ground, Duff. I'm really not.
That's a 50 too.
Yeah, okay.
And I understand how it happened. I reckon Darcy's kind of like...
Jeez, it's a tough 50. It was a goal too. I mean, it's just tough.
Well, both of them were goals.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but that took him from the wing. I mean, that was Keith's first goal in footy, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Darcy Tucker.
He's bowled 5 maiden overs, but he hasn't kicked a goal in AFL football. He's a good player.
Oh, he's a ripper, isn't he? Yeah.
Tucker got his kind of like rules mixed up between out of bounds and out of bounds in the full. So he's put the ball on the ground for the boundary umpire, and then he's remembered, oh, crap, it's out on
it's
the
not
full.
Not as if he threw, kicked the footy over the fence or threw it in anger. I mean, I'm just not sure about
you
that.
Give, the rule is you got to give the ball straight back. As soon as he did it, I thought, that's 50.
He tried to make amends, tried to pick it up. No, realising the error of his ways. But, you know, I just think it's a really harsh penalty, that one.
I thought, in a game like that, you like the umpires to not be more involved than they have to, but I thought they weren't involved enough. There was a lot of non-calls. And so when they did make the odd call, it kind of stood out and it had the ability to impact the match. The Eddie Betts holding the ball. It's holding the ball every day.
They've admitted that.
There was a couple of others, though, that could have gone the other way. I think there was a couple of high tackles on Eddie down the other end.
Yeah.
No, it was an absorbing game. I think Fremantle will take plenty out of it. But probably what they need to take out of it is, in a game like that, we need to be kicking 10 goals, not 5. Because you kick 10 goals in a game like that, you probably win a game like that. But they just didn't score enough. And really, had Adelaide kicked a bit straighter, it probably would have been a 4 or 5 goal win, not a 3 goal.
Back to their defensive best, Freo, second for conceded points, so going really well, only behind Geelong. That back six at Freo is now looking, you would not want to be a forward playing against them at the moment. Alex Pearce, it took him ages to get from game, I think it was 21 to 22, 670-odd days. But, geez, making up for it. Plays his 50th game, I believe, on Sunday. And all Australian right now, without question, has claiming sculpts by the week, and he got Taylor Walker last week, and you could see Taylor Walker in his post-match interview when he was saying...
He's flat as a pancake, wasn't he?
Yeah, they've won it, but then he was saying it was like a finals-like game, the intensity, and while I'm saying that was Fremantle en masse, I'm saying that was Alex Pearce he was talking about, the finals-type pressure that was on him.
He's a very, very good player, Alex Pearce. Luke Ryan had another sensational game. I've loved Nathan Wilson's last 2 weeks.
Yep, beautiful kick.
I think he's been fantastic, and I liked Adam Chera's game on the weekend.
Off halfback,
I'm going to be fascinated to see what they do with Adam Chera going forward, because I would imagine that Connor Blakely will come in to the team this week. He had 30 disposals playing for Peel at the weekend. So that's going to require some juggling. It'll be interesting to see.
So who stays at halfback, who goes into the mid?
Yeah. And I'm also going to be interested to see how the ruck thing pans out. I think Rory Lobb has done some good stuff, and there are occasions where around stoppage, I reckon they would benefit from having a really genuine big-bodied ruckman in there. So
Sean Darcy, the body language is it must be frustrating for Darcy at the moment.
I just wonder whether they're going to end up, because Cameron McCarthy has run out of form, and he is a bit flaky like that, Cam. He sort of, and he was almost absent on Sunday. I wonder whether Jesse Hogan slides into the McCarthy role, that more mobile lead up, sort of higher forward, where the Lob slides into the Tabiner role, which is the forward ruck. Tabiner becomes the post up deep forward, and Darcy comes in as the ruckman. You've still got the same amount of talls, and that may be their best. That may be their best configuration, perhaps. I think Adelaide, like the midfield was a mighty battle on Sunday, but Adelaide had their measure at stoppages, and they really needed Nathan Fyfe to be able to exert a dominance at stoppages like he did against GWS.
There's a good matchup with Ellis Yeoman at the weekend.
Very good piece of coaching by
big body player.
It just, Fyfe won the battle, but he didn't slaughter him.
Yeah.
And Ellis Yeoman stood his ground in all the one-on-one sort of bump and grind battles, and they were able to bring Fyfe back to a level where he was just a good player and not a dominant force in the game. I thought that was a very clever piece of coaching by Don Pike. Mm-hmm. What are you making of West Coast?
Well, at half time I was making that they're on their way back, and then they just fell away, didn't they, in the second half, and they were probably not lucky, but I think the sphincter was a bit tight late. But look, it's a win. Gets them on the board. There's a few areas of concern still, but I'm just going to say it's a win against a very competitive side.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, as I wrote in my match report on Monday for Monday's paper, you can't win premierships in April and May, but you can lose them.
Yeah.
And they haven't lost anything. So, there may be one win back of where they would like to be, But at the end of the day, they're well in touch with the top eight. They're still in touch with the top four. And they will feel, rightly or wrongly, they will feel that their best football is yet to come. What I do get concerned about quarters from their perspective is they appear to be struggling to summon the required amount of energy
over four quarters
and sustain it for four quarters. Yeah. I thought that their first half was good, and then the last 5 or 10 minutes, when a couple of players, Elliot Yeo, Jeremy McGovern, and Luke Shuey in particular, and Shannon Hearn, thought, "Oh, hang on a minute, a couple of things go wrong for us here, and we could lose this."
Yeah.
And you could see that there was a palpable lift in intensity. Jack Darling gets his fourth goal, and they get away with it. It just, in between that, there was like this 30 minutes of black hole nothingness.
There was, where, yeah. Well, they conceded five goals unanswered. The one thing I did take from it was Darling. So he's kicked a three in the second,
yep,
and then he's kicked a goal late to put it beyond doubt.
Yeah,
I thought it was good signs there from Jack. Has had a lean period. Well, when you call it a lean period, he's a pretty consistent player, Jack Darling. He doesn't have to be, you know, he's missing in action for 2 minutes and people are on his back. But I thought it was a good step forward for him at the weekend. So they can take that from the game.
Yeah, and Brad Shepherd just continues to roll out good games.
Oh, well, to head in their BNF one. Now?
I would have thought he's winning their BNF.
Yeah. A few other games. It was a fascinating weekend of footy. We'll start off on Sunday. Geelong against Essendon. Probably found their place a bit at the moment, Essendon. Geez, Geelong were impressive again.
Absolutely. So no Joel Selwood.
And no Tui, who was a...
And no Zach Tui. And they just roll out a dominant performance. And really, if it wasn't for that late first quarter surge when Essendon kicked three and levelled up the scores at quarter time, this was pretty much going to be four quarters of Geelong dominance, wasn't it?
Hey, we'd have Kelly in the Brownlow fancies. Is he going to lose votes to too many other players?
Well, he's taken votes off them at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got to be up in the frame, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a very good player. Look, you know what? When I looked at Tim Kelly last year, I thought that maybe his season was a little bit overrated. The thing that came out of Tim Kelly's season for me was that he absolutely belongs at that level and he's a very good player at that level. I thought all the talk of him being absolutely elite and I thought was a bit over the top. But I'm watching him this year. He is elite at stoppage.
Yeah, I didn't think he was overrated last year. I just didn't expect him to follow it up so well.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you're saying.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's probably what
I think. He's followed it up beautifully, and you're right, he is elite.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens there because he's got a few suitors. Essendon, not too far off. I just think there's a mid-forward connection missing and just need more goals from their midfielders.
I think they also need... We know they have great pace and burst out of defence, and Saad and McKenna are keys to their football in the way they come storming out of the back. But those guys need to be better decision makers as well. Sometimes they go when they don't need to go. And sometimes they go full steam ahead, straight ahead, when a cross would be better and widen the ground. And I think good coaches can get them running into trouble. They can put traffic in front of them and get them to have a quick play that stuffs up when a more judicious play would have been more appropriate for them. And I think the other thing is, Quarters, I still can't get a read on their midfield, just how good their midfield is.
Need to kick more goals, Duff. Just on that defensive, can you learn that on the run? I mean, I know you can always learn, you can always educate, but shouldn't you be a better decision maker already?
Well, Connor McKenna's only played footy for 3 or 4 years, and Saad's always been that he just goes. And everyone's always loved that about him because he's got that searing speed and no one can run him down. He's also got great evasion. Quarters, the most frightening moment of the season.
Oh, yeah, Liam Jones.
Liam Jones with the head clash with Cam Zerha.
I'm sorry, yeah. It was two players going for the footy. And it was good to see the North Melbourne supporters applaud Jones as he was being carried off on a stretcher.
Yep.
And it wasn't, it was genuine, well done for having a fair dinkum crack. And look, it always is frightening when you see that sort of stuff and them laying motionless, but he's okay. So
just to punters out there, you know, we sit in judgment of these players.
Oh, it's courage.
Never underestimate how much courage it takes to play AFL footy. The bodies are big. They are moving at extreme speed and they're trying to perform extreme skills at extreme speed. And all in amongst that, bodies are flying at players from all different kinds of angles. It's
It's a different carriage these days, because we used to talk about the carriage of, you know, the old days when they were glue pots and you'd have your head over the footy and it was really tough.
Lee Matthews would be trying to knock it off.
Yeah, all those enclosed toughness. Now it's so fast. The game is so fast.
Yep.
And there's a real courage required to go back with the flight when someone's running at you with the speed of a Concorde.
So, and I think the other thing that when something like that happens now, Quarters, it's almost always a genuine accident.
Yeah.
There is no – the players – I think are amazing in the way they've developed a duty of care for each other. So when something like that happens, you know that two players had intent for the ball and just something bad happened, because sometimes something bad does happen.
Five goals from Zerha, a West Australian kid, rising star nomination for this week.
Don't mess with the Zerha.
Exactly. I wouldn't get too carried away if I was the Roos just yet, though. Look, I picked Carlton, so I'm a bit embarrassed there, but, you know, they frustrate you, Carlton. I was thinking the other day of a good metaphor for them at the moment. They're like if they're a rebuild, they're like a Greek rebuild. You go to Greece and all the houses are half built. They never get finished up. And that's what they remind me of. It's just when you think you're about to get out the scalpel and put the concrete down and put the door on and she's all a lock up. Oh, no. The roof's still missing. So, yeah, it's a real concern, Carlton.
That reminds me.
We're missing a lot of players. We're missing a lot. But
yes,
they've got to give a greater effort against a side that's really not travelling that well.
I like the Greek analogy. That reminds me of that famous joke about Giuseppe, the Greek person, which I definitely can't tell on the radio. Okay, so Brendan Bolton now has 4 wins from 39 games.
Yeah, look, whoever inherits that list
is going to do all right.
He's going to do all right. And that's, I guess, how do you look at that? Well, he needs wins, and he needs them quickly.
Mm.
He can't afford to lose too many more players to injury. He needs some wins. And I guess it's a pretty brutal industry, Duff, coaching at AFL level. And, you know, it takes no prisoners. So
let's say Brendan Bolton wins 5 games this season.
In total?
Yes. Who is coaching Carlton next year? Is it Brendan Bolton or is it someone else?
No, it's someone else.
Tough gig.
And I reckon he's done a good job of developing the list. Steve Silvani's done a good job of building the list. Probably time now. If he can't produce some wins, that's the currency the Carlton supporters want. That's the currency Carlton Ball wants now.
And they certainly
have time.
They certainly don't want losses like that.
If
you're going to lose, you need to lose like you lost to Hawthorn.
And they had been duff. That's the thing. That's why the percentage was so good. They need, and that was just, let's hope it's an aberration, because if that's what they're about to cough up, I have grave concerns for his future.
And the other thing is that what North Melbourne did do is they kind of showed other teams the way to get to Carlton, just because
show up and roughen them up.
But also Zeeble went to Cripps.
Yeah.
So they took their toughest, gnarliest, well, their second gnarliest contested ball
winner. After Cunnington.
Cunnington, who hits everybody. Zeeble went to Cripps, nullified Cripps, and the rest of the Carlton midfield were sort of waiting for Cripps to feed balls out, and he wasn't able to dominate at stoppage and they got dominated.
Yeah, and Tarrant on Mackay down the other end. Good luck, Mackay, with that one. So, it wasn't good for Carlton.
Let's talk about
the astronaut.
NASA.
The astronaut. Great headline. Great headline. I will put my hand up and say I did see it, the Herald Sun, early, and I did use it because it's a great headline. Five goals. 9 contested marks,
yes.
And I think you can throw whatever stat you like at me, but when Jonathan Brown says a better contested mark than Wayne Carey that he's seen, I think that's when you sit up and take notice. Maybe we have got a special one here. I know it's only his second year, but I think we forget pretty quickly. Finished 4th in their best and fairest as a defender in his first year.
Did you pick up on the classic piece of coaching misdirection at the end of the game in Damien Hardwick's comments?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Could not have even stopped him.
Damien Hardwick got it wrong because he thought that Billy Gowers was a bigger threat than Aaron Norton. So Dylan Grimes went to Billy Gowers, and by the time he got Grimes onto Norton, Grimes had taken the 3 second quarter hangers, kicked 3 goals, and the game was pretty much gone.
With all due respect to Billy Gowers, who's not a bad player, I wouldn't have picked that one.
Next time they play,
I don't think he'll be going to Billy Gowers.
Norton will be getting their best tall defender.
I would have thought so. Look, what a great start to the year. Dogs aren't that far away, are they? They've had the honourable losses. Maybe the loss to Carlton was the one.
Oh, absolutely.
And in hindsight, it looks really bad now. But, you know, 47-point win over Richmond. Who they're down on Soldiers, but still, you know, 47-point win over Richmond. And you did flag Marvel Stadium, probably not the best venue for Richmond, but that's a big win.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes in that Richmond team now. And the thing, when you lose manpower, your system holds up for so long, but eventually the loss of manpower gets you. You know, no Jack Riewoldt in attack. They got a good matchup for Tom Lynch, so Tom Lynch wasn't able to save them at that end. Grimes and, you know, Hardwick sent him to Gowers, should have sent him to Norton. But even then, you know, Gowers might have popped up and kicked four too. So he had really two marking targets in attack, and he had one viable tall defensive option to put on him. He's ended up with Noah Bolter on Aaron Norton for a while. I saw Nick Vlostone going in marking contests against him at times. I saw Nathan Broad manned up on him at times. None of those players are a good matchup for a young player as good as Norton.
I'm not sure if they did have it. I think Harvick had a point about JC because I don't think they did have a matchup at the
weekend. And you know what? The other thing is the Bont is back.
Oh, yeah. So, he'd be just about, he wouldn't be far off the Brownlow lead at the moment, I'd say, Bont.
And it was almost as good as Norton was, I wasn't sure who was best on ground.
Because Norton.
Bontempelli was utterly dominant out of the middle.
I know he was, but you take nine contested marks, the way he clunks them too.
Yeah, he's got great hands.
It's not second grade, not a second effort. It's a sticks. So.
But the other bloke put on a masterclass midfield and kicked three.
He's a good player.
He's a very, very good player. What else came out of the round for you, Corbis?
Brisbane, sort of workmanlike win over Sydney that's sort of going nowhere at the moment.
Well, they're going somewhere. They're going down.
Yeah.
And they're at the bottom, so they can't go any further down.
So Brisbane are now top four. They don't have to do... I mean...
Now?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Seven or eight more games at home. I think we start saying just about finals. They're looking pretty solid, at least for finals. Top four, probably not. But I think we're going to see Brisbane playing.
It's going to be a hell of a race for those four spots at the bottom end of the
eight. They're ahead.
Yeah, I think that, it's going to be a hell of a race because I can put eight or nine teams in that race, I reckon. Maybe even 10.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, I think they're in there. I'm having a... They're playing finals.
They're playing in September, as far as you're concerned. Yeah. Well, that would be a fantastic thing for the competition, I think. Yes, interesting. So we're all on tenterhooks. We're going to be waiting for the little Gazza tribunal hearing this afternoon. You're saying...
I'm saying he
shouldn't get off, but he will get off. That's what you're saying.
That's my... And when I say fear, you know, I just think it's just so inconsistent. And you're right. You're almost creating another rod for his back if he gets off.
He's going to be booed everywhere if he gets off.
The irony is he'll probably be rested, even if he gets off.
Then on the seventh day, he rested.
Yeah, that's right. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a crazy competition. And if you are a footballer who has flung out the elbow and received a week, you'd be sort of scratching your head saying, well, I don't know where I stand.
No one's saying he should be incarcerated. No one's saying
he gets a week.
Lose a limb. He hit a bloke with an elbow in the head. That's a week.
I agree.
And I just can't understand the inability of the football community to get its head around that.
Now, we should mention GWS, another really tidy win, a tidy performance in Canberra, a 44-point win over St Kilda. But Jeremy Cameron with six, he's now got 30 from seven. I think we might be seeing our century goal kicker right there.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask you. Does he get the ton?
I think he does.
If they play finals, maybe a finals ton.
Right now, he's on track to get him in very late in the season if he maintains his average. But yeah, I would have thought so. Probably week one or two of the finals.
Yeah,
he's playing great footy. Another six at the weekend, as I said. And it's the Jeremy Cameron, the consistent Jeremy Cameron, I think, that we hoped we'd see.
Yeah,
and I think Finlayson's presence up there has helped. And not to mention, geez, a halfback line and a midfield that's just humming at the moment. Beautifully.
Quarters, before we go, we should also mention one of the best moments of
Collingwood
the year
so far. Port Adelaide.
Collingwood v Port Adelaide and Kyron
Maguire.
So it was just a fantastic
So it's a young fella, terminally ill child, and you could see just the engagement with the Collingwood team, what it meant to him, what it meant to his parents. And this is happening on an almost weekly basis now, Duff, and it's where footy really gets it right.
Clubs are getting so much better at this.
Yeah, and just that is just, you know, almost brings tears to your eyes talking about it now, Duff.
Yeah, it does. And
well done, Collingwood, and well done to all the clubs who make such a big effort.
And to young Kyron and his family, we wish you all the best.
Absolutely.
In the weeks and months ahead. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll be back on Thursday for a quick run-through of the round, and we'll try and tip some winners. How'd you go?
Six.
I reckon I got seven.
Yeah, well, I think you picked North.
I did pick North.
Well, I didn't.
All right, we'll be back on Thursday. We'll be brought to you again by Tab Touch. Thanks for tuning in to us today, and we'll see you in a couple of days.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.